you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
It's still cold in Winnipeg, but the Winterruption Festival is a great reason to leave the house. Produced by the West End Cultural Center in partnership with Real Love Winnipeg, the festival has some amazing shows happening this spring. And Witch Police Radio has tickets. Stay glued to our social media to see how you can win tickets for a series of great shows at XQ's Cafe and Lounge, featuring amazing local artists like Bobby Dove, El Leon and the Strangers, Joe Curtis, Ala Barker, The Noble Thieves, Two Crows for Comfort, Riel, and more. For more information including artist bios, concert schedules, and ticket links, check out the Winterruption website at www.winterruptionwpg.ca or find all of their events on Facebook.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. As people who are regular listeners to the show know, I kind of have a hoarding problem with local music, and especially when it comes to local independent labels and people doing DIY stuff. I'm a big nerd for that kind of thing. I've attempted to release my own tapes over the years, usually with poor results, but I appreciate the art that goes into it and the work that goes into sort of making local and other independent music available, especially on a format that is still sort of pretty underground these days, even though it's having a bit of a comeback. So the guest on this episode is the owner of a label in the city, and I think that the best way to start this off is if you want to just introduce yourself and then maybe give a bit of background about the label so we listeners know what we're talking about.
Yeah, hi. I run Some Music Can Hurt You. It's a record label that is based here in Winnipeg, and we, or I, specialize in releasing noise and grind. Specifically, I try to give a platform to explicitly left-wing artists and projects, along with marginalized people who are in the scene.
So how did this get started? I'm assuming that you must have been involved in that scene, you know, before you kind of put this together. Were you making your own music before this got launched?
Oh yeah, I had been making some pretty not very good like noise grind at the time, and upon realizing that I wanted to have physical releases for it, I just started doing them myself. Yeah. And that's how the label started, and it's continued from there.
It seems like, just looking at your releases that you have online, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and it's not all local. I mean, you seem to have stuff from all over the place, whether you're distributing it or you're releasing it. I imagine you must have had some kind of involvement within the larger scene for this kind of music to begin with, to be able to get your foot in the door in terms of attracting artists and just getting permission to release some of the stuff locally on tape.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely helps to be an artist already before you start a label. And like for me, I don't know. I think I just started out when it came to like releasing for other artists. I kind of started out with like releasing for people that I had already done splits and stuff with.
Okay.
Which made it a lot easier because I already knew those people. I already knew, like, you know, all that sort of thing. And it just kind of went from there. And I started, I think the first release that wasn't for one of my own projects was for a guy in Germany. His project was called Mescal and Nausea. I don't know if that project's still going on or not, but that was the first one that was not one of my own projects.
Okay. Well, I have maybe a weird question, and when it comes to this kind of music, and I know there's a lot of artists who just release just massive amounts of content. I'm assuming in a lot of cases because everything's so fast and often so short, and it seems like there's just this like kind of never-ending churn of content coming out of a lot of people playing this kind of stuff. What are you looking for as someone who's, you know, putting this music out there as far as what you want to release? Like what kind of stuff within that existing genre are you kind of what appeals to you, I guess?
Said earlier, I try to focus on releasing for explicitly left-wing artists, yeah, as along with marginalized artists, because it's important to keep keep the scene politically in the right spot. But also, like, I like I try and release albums that I will want to have in my collection. I like to release, I try and make the tapes, you know, I release something that I think will be fitting on one of the tapes that I like to make. Okay. Like I, you know, and that I will listen to a lot.
Okay, that's what most people, I think, who are in your position putting out music, they want to put out something that they already like and they get, because you want to share that, right? You want to get that music out there. As far as this genre, though, what? I don't mean to sound ignorant about the genre, but I am kind of. I mean, my heavy music is, it doesn't really get heavier than doom metal. That's about the limit for me. So when you get into this really extreme stuff, what makes a good tape? You know, what kind of sound is actually something that you would consider to be good? Because I mean, a lot of it, to the uninitiated, I guess, it is just noise, right? I mean, it can sound like,
for sure.
How do you tell when something's good? I hate saying that because it sounds like I'm, you know, kind of being a dick or something, but you know what I mean, right? Like,
no, yeah, I totally get what you're talking about. For me, there's a lot of like factors that go into what I consider a good release. Like, obviously there's the first one, do I like listening to it? But then, like, beyond that, obviously there's the like questions of like, is it like, you know, we have to separate between like the grind releases that I do and the noise releases, sure, that I do, sure, because the grind releases, you know, I would just go by largely how other people tend to judge the stuff. Okay. And okay, like, I tend to think I have pretty normie tastes when it comes to grindcore, as much as it's not a normie genre in
right,
the
of
first
course,
place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to like specifically noise, I think it's, there's a lot of factors that have to play into making a good release. You have to like keep in mind, you know, sort of like sound texture of it, like the idea portrayed by it, and if the idea portrayed by it is portrayed well, in the same sense as like an abstract art piece, sure, when you're looking at, you know, an abstract art piece that's clearly meant to mean something, you know, it's kind of like extrapolating that meaning from an abstract art piece.
Well, and that makes
because
sense.
Because noise
that...
is. Yeah.
Sure. And I've talked to people on the show who do avant-garde stuff, mainly kind of jazz artists who are doing things that are pretty far out there. And I mean, that kind of stuff, I think I have a better grasp on just because I've listened to more of it. And it is what you're saying, right? It's texture. It's about like the overall feel of a piece, right? Rather than the specific notes or chorus or whatever. It's just kind of the whole vibe of the thing, I guess, really, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back.
I like to make my tapes like an art piece in and of themselves that just complements the piece that's already made in the form of the music yeah. or noise, depending on the release.
Well, I was gonna ask about that actually, because I mean, like, again, because some of this stuff is just noise that is kind of hard to, I guess, get what the message is without having that extra element, right? Having the song titles on there, having the artwork, that especially when you're talking about things that are political and have that those politics yeah. that you look for in your label, right? You, I guess, part of the packaging has to portray that in a way that the music maybe can't.
For sure, yeah. Another helpful thing is that a couple of times I've, like, mostly with my own personal project, Two Line Struggle, it's one of the projects that I have.
Okay.
I will work to find a good, like, piece of political writing that I can print out as a zine and then send with the tape to people who order it.
Okay.
Although that's more rare, because I tend to just do that when it's mostly with my own project.
Okay. Well, and that's not much different from what punk and hardcore bands have done for ages too, right? It's just
that
stuff is more just direct in terms of the message, because the vocals are clearer, or the, you know what I mean? It's, yeah.
So yeah.
It's the same idea though, for sure. I get that. Yeah. Yeah. And so is this, as far as tapes, I mean, I know that most heavy genres of music, tapes have been sort of the format, regardless of what else is going on in the world with the streaming or CDs yeah. or vinyl or whatever. Tapes have always been there. So I assume this is probably the reason you went with tapes too, right? Is because it's sort of the style that people are used to already.
There's a lot of things I like about tapes, to be honest. It's
I love them too, so I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of advantages to them that people don't think about. Like, there's obviously the fact that they're tiny. They don't take up that much space compared to, like, vinyl, you know? Yeah. They're cheap to produce and to buy, so it's easier for, you know, fans who have less money to still be able to have physical copies of the music. And also, they're really tough. Yeah. Like, I had a friend buy a tape once, and on the way home it fell out of their pocket and got run over by a car, and it still worked.
Yeah.
Like, it's, tapes are great.
Yeah, they're indestructible. Like, I'm almost 40, and I have tapes from when I was 13 that I still have, that have just, like,
yeah,
they've lasted. I mean, they're a bit beat up now, but I can still play them, right? So yeah, for sure. There's that, where CDs have this shelf life that is not great. I mean, I do have some CDs I've had for decades too, but tapes are, yeah, they withstand a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty resilient.
Yeah. What has the response been like since? I mean, first of all, how long have you been doing this? Because I know it's relatively new, but it's been a few years, right?
Yeah. Let me think. Sorry, I've got to count the.
It's okay.
The years. I think I started it 2 or 3 years. About.
Well, it doesn't help because the years of time doesn't exist anymore because of the pandemic. So everyone's just,
yeah, because of COVID, that doesn't help at all.
Yeah. Yeah. What has that been like, running this during COVID? I mean, I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sure you are. Everyone is sick of talking about it. But over the course of the past 2 years, like, everyone I've talked to, whether it's someone who has a label, an artist, anybody involved in music, there's been some sort of, something has affected them with this pandemic. And I mean, I know you're making tapes. You can do that. And you're one person job. You can do that kind of anyway. But what has the impact been on you?
It's definitely a little harder. I tend not to sell as much because of the pandemic, because, you know, people just don't have as much money now because of it to spend on things like cassettes. Yeah. But there's also been, like, Bandcamp Friday's been a thing because of that. And most of my sales since the pandemic started have been on Bandcamp Friday.
Cool.
I don't get them often, but, like, anytime that I sell something on Bandcamp Friday, I sell a bunch, and it's really nice because, you know, I get all the money from it.
Yeah.
And Ethan doesn't get to line his pockets with my money anymore. Ethan Diamond, CEO of Bandcamp, I mean.
No, that's cool. And Bandcamp Friday has been huge for so many people too, and I'm glad they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, as
same.
As someone who doesn't, like, I'm old and set in my ways, and I only listen to physical stuff, so I don't know how to do Spotify or any of that stuff. So when it comes to listening to things online before I buy it, Bandcamp is pretty much the way that I do things. So I'm glad that exists. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What's the scene like in when I know there's no scene for anything right now because shows aren't happening, but you know, in the before times, I mean, for grind and noise and this kind of stuff, was there a big community locally, and were there some you know, relatively popular artists?
I've heard that there was more of a noise scene before, but I've never actually encountered it in Winnipeg. It's funny because, like, I've released for bands who have told me they've gone and played in Winnipeg, or at least one band, that they've gone and played in Winnipeg, and the artist was like, yeah, there was a few bands, local bands, that opened for it, and I don't know any of them, and I wish I knew them, because I'm a noise label in Winnipeg, and a noise artist, you know? But for grind, on the other hand, Winnipeg is, like, it's the best city you can live in if you listen to grindcore. Like, the best grind, one of the best grindcore bands in the world right now is from Winnipeg, Archigathus.
Right, and then they've been around, like, for a long time too, and so have some of the other
bands. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, most of the Winnipeg scene just, like, built off of that and has become an amazing scene. Like, I found it's really good. It's like the music scene that I feel the most at home in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, I imagine it's fairly insular too, in the sense that there's probably not a lot of crossover between, like, a noise artist and then, you know, a rock band or something. The shows would probably be fairly separate, right? I mean, so some genres you can very easily play on a bill with each other, but you're not going to get a blues act and then a noise artist opening. I mean, it would be cool, but it's unlikely, right?
About that, the first show I ever played actually was at Bulldog Pizza.
Okay.
And I don't want to complain too much, but the person who was booking it didn't really know who to book me with. And so I ended up with, like, one very good hard rock band and a very good band that covered a bunch of old metal songs,
right,
like by Metallica and Black Sabbath and stuff, who I'm actually friends with one of the members still. They're in Hopscotch Battle Scars.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, it was a very strange show because you had, like, normal music playing. And then the last set, there was just me playing a bunch of ear-splitting shit, screaming and stuff. About half the crowd left, I think, if I remember correctly. It was pretty funny.
But then you got half the crowd staying there, right? So that's always the thing, right? You're going to get someone who's never heard it before and is going to be like, oh, this is cool. And they're going to actually stick around and check out what it is.
Yeah, like, it's something that I forgot to mention with the COVID thing is that, it used to be much more easy for me to sell merch of my own project because I would play shows.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, people would just, there was always a bunch of people who would buy them at my shows, but now it's really just the releases I do for other people that sell for the most part, or my band Clavicle Eruption, which is with someone else. So most people are just buying it for their contribution to the album.
Well, they're still buying it though, right? So
exactly.
Yeah. We'll be right back. okay, what is the deal with all of the extreme gore stuff? I mean, like, you know, there seems to be just like the first of all, the best band names, because it's always some insane medical,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
which is hilarious. But where does all that come from? Like, what is it, just like people who are into death metal decide to go one step further or something?
Yeah, well, it's basically first there was grindcore, and then like from grindcore originated gore grind, which right. was like started out with stuff like Carcass and stuff.
Right.
With a lot of like pitch shifting on the vocals to make it lower and sound more gross and shit. And you'd and then eventually, like, I think in the late 90s, gore noise started to come around, which is what, like, the kind of gore stuff that I released generally
okay.
is gore noise. It's not that different, but there's a distinction. It's like gore grind mixed with just noise and as an umbrella term. So it's much more raw, much more like what's the word I'm looking for? Like violent sounding.
Okay.
You know, and it's something that I really like. I like the sound.
No, that's a good reason to
like
anything.
I like to make it, and I like to release it. No, I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, I guess maybe a better question is there anything that you wouldn't put on a tape cover as far as, like, medical photos and shit? Because that is a part of it, right? I mean, like, the gross death photos
question.
And things like that. Like, is there a line that you would draw?
My line, I don't like when someone is recognizable.
Sure.
Like, I think that's insensitive. I don't judge any artists that do that, but I don't like to release it myself.
Okay.
When there's something, like, if there's someone in the picture that's recognizable, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
This doesn't go right with me.
Anonymous mutilations and body parts and stuff, that's cool, but once, yeah.
Yeah. And I also generally, if I'm going to use an album cover like that, although I tend to usually use my own art over that, I generally would prefer like medical imagery, because there's a certain, I don't know, there's like, I'm just terrified of hospitals, and it's a nice way to cope, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully, you know, the diseases and stuff you're picking are weird enough that it's not something you're ever going to have to deal with, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. Well, I mean, I've always said like, that if I die in a horrific accident, I will be disappointed in the afterlife if no one used it as an album cover.
Right. I think you need to put that in a will or tattoo it on yourself or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a do not resuscitate, but do not bury me without using me as an album cover.
What is what's with the Garfield stuff? Because I was looking at some of the releases you have on your label, and there's like tons of Garfield shit, which is it's hilarious.
Okay.
But what is the deal with that? Like, I really like it, but I don't get it.
Okay, it kind of started with the artist Canine Hemorrhoids,
okay.
who I've released a lot of stuff for, as you know. They made an album called Garfield is Dead,
right?
It like kind of took on and started turning like different just like noisecore and gore noise bands just started using Garfield as an image, and there's a certain like aesthetic to it I like, that's like, I don't know, like perverting a highly corporatized character and turning him into something else, like, you know, have you ever seen Lasagna Cat?
I'm not sure if I have. Is that really gross, gigantic, like, bulbous Garfield?
I think that's I'm Sorry, John.
Okay. There's a bunch of them, right? There's a whole Garfield core industry online or something. It's weird.
Yes, there is. Yeah. The one that I'm thinking of is, it was this YouTube channel in the early 2000s that was, or not in the early 2000s, in the 2000s,
okay.
it made live action versions of Garfield comics. And it was supposed to do so in a way that pointed out just how unfunny Garfield is as intended.
Yeah, yeah.
If you view it as intended, sort of. And the fact that it's just been like a corpse being dragged through piles of money just so that Jim Davis can keep raking in that cash. Yeah.
I think it's the best example of that too, because he doesn't even write it anymore. He has like a team of people who've been doing it for like 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he just cashes in, yeah, for sure.
And so it's kind of like that in a sense, in that like by turning it into noisecore and connecting it to such a violent sounding genre, you kind of do that sort of thing and are able to portray this like decaying of corporate imagery, you know?
Right.
Maybe I'm thinking of it too deep, but that's how I see it.
Right.
Myself.
It could just be people are making fun of Garfield, but I think that what you described...
Yeah, but that's how I use it.
That fits in with the politics, too, that you're talking about, too, as well, right? Like, having the message with this kind of music as well, and that makes sense, tearing down kind of the corporate Garfield. yeah, for sure. So if people are hearing about your label for the first time on this show, what's the best way to find your releases and to hear some of the stuff that you're putting out?
There's my Bandcamp that has anything that I release on physical media, whether it's my projects or someone else's. And there's my Bandcamp for Two Line Struggle,
okay,
which is my Harsh Noise project. And then there's my YouTube channel, which is Fizzle Inc.
Okay.
And on there, I upload pretty much any music for my friends. I upload pretty much anything that I have made, and I release obscure like tape rips of tapes I found at thrift stores that have like zero online record.
That's
on
cool.
There. It's kind of a mishmash, but if you want to look for my projects or pretty much anything I put out, look there.
Cool. And then as far as, like you said before, Bandcamp Fridays is kind of a good way to support the label and to get some of this stuff. Right now, is that the best way to do it, through Bandcamp, or do you have other means of obtaining these tapes?
Bandcamp, or if someone is in Winnipeg and wants to buy something from me, message me on either my Instagram, or just message me anywhere you find me. My Instagram, my email, my Bandcamp through the messaging, or not messaging, but contact me thing that
that form
in.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or message me on my Facebook, Liliana Fess.
Okay.
Because Canada Post has started charging ridiculous prices for shipping within Canada.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So... I'd rather just bring it to someone's house.
For sure. Do you find that most of your customers are local, or is it really all over the place?
Most of them are from the U.S.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is nowadays wonders for shipping, to be honest, because anytime that I'm shipping anything more than like one tape, the shipping is like $16 to $20 for something within Canada, even within Winnipeg.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, yeah. And I guess people can listen to it obviously on Bandcamp too, right? Is it on any of the other streaming stuff, or is it just Bandcamp right now?
Just Bandcamp. Although I have been uploading a lot of my stuff on Soulseek, if you know it.
Does that still exist?
It still exists. Huh. I've heard that name in the modern day. I don't know how old it is. I just got introduced to it recently. Okay. So I started uploading all of my stuff because no one else was pirating my stuff on Soulseek. I might as well see it myself.
Right on. That's pretty cool, actually. I'm going to look that up now. I thought Soulseek was something from 20 years ago, but maybe it's a thing I should be checking out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I just started using it, though.
Cool. And then for the Bandcamp, what's the URL for the Bandcamp? I'll link to it too, if you want to just...
The Bandcamp is just no caps, some music can hurt you at Bandcamp, or some music can hurt you .bandcamp.com.
Awesome.
Wow.